February 25, 2021. This is The Better Life. I'm your host, Timothy Lawson. Living a better life means getting mailers from your casinos. And I only bring it up, one, because it's been a while since I've discussed such things, because my interest and my willingness to go to casinos has only just recently sort of increased in the slightest. And I think the past week is, I think I've gotten the most volume of mailers in this past week than any week prior since March, since about a year ago, right? I mean, we're almost a couple weeks away from March, but almost been a year since I've gotten, and when I say this many, I mean, I'm talking, I don't know, a handful here. What was interesting, though, is, I'm not going to go in detail here, that would be, that might be... might be a little difficult listening, but a couple of things that I thought were interesting. I got two mailers from Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races over in West Virginia. I got two, I think within a day of each other. One labeled Your March Offers, the other labeled A Special Offer Inside Just For You. Exclusively for our guests who travel Route 9, so maybe that's why I'm getting this one. But this one here, the one that your special offer inside does for you, it boasts, what does it boast here? It boasts $40 of free bets, $10 per week through the month of March. Okay, that's cool. Then here, your March offers, open this up, $120 of free bets, broken down by $10 every sort of few days. So pretty much $10 during the, about $10, I think, three times a week is what that looks like. And then it has the other, promotions and stuff in there. Nothing really... like, interesting. Nothing is interesting enough to make me be like, oh, well, that's something that I'll go in for, you know? But that's $30,000 sportsbook drawings. 15 winners every Thursday. Well, I'm not going there on a Thursday. Okay. Horseshoe Baltimore, they sent me something. Horseshoe Baltimore, definitely a little more, what do they got here? Enjoy $445 in offers. That's a mix between e-gift cards, guaranteed free play, risk your reward free play, some bonus points, and some other things. They have gotten a little bit more aggressive, not only, I think that might be the first mailer I've gotten from them in a while, but they've gotten a little more aggressive in the email mailing, or maybe I'm just paying more attention to it now. Got one from the D, or I guess to say from the one, experience card, which covers the D, Golden Gate, and Circa, with some free nights at the D or a Club One member rate at Circa. They're like, hey, you can get we'll give you a spot at the D or Golden Gate. Still got to pony up the cash for Circa. I get it. $80 food and beverage credit, $30 in free play. And I think that could apply both, I'm tier C1, whatever that means. I don't know, how many numbers and letters they have in their tiers. Apparently I'm tier C1. I don't know if I should be flattered or embarrassed. But it says once per offer period and they showed 2 months there. So, I don't know if I'm down. I'm going to go to Vegas, anytime before June. But that's nice. I hope that sort of repeats itself maybe before June. That would be nice. I don't know if they would be able to offer me something that would get me off of my current Bellagio reservation, but we'll see. We'll see. And then, Bally's Atlantic City, $290 direct bet in offers are here. And they show a number of gifts on the front, including Irish cream liqueur. Can't say that I'm interested in driving up to Atlantic City for that, but just a bunch of random $10 to $15 sort of bets or gifts or whatever sprinkled around each day, sort of sprinkled through the month of March. So that is what my mailers, and you probably some of you listening to that makes sense. You know what kind of the better I am. With the realities, but I really haven't bet much in Atlantic City, right? So, and I, You know, other than maybe ocean, I never really like really spent a day even gambling somewhere for just, so just the idea that Bally's is sending me anything is actually kind of interesting. I guess we did play craps there, I think, that one time, but I mean, it couldn't have been much, but well. And then I have gotten some Hard Rock mailers. I don't have one here in this pile, but I have gotten some Hard Rock mailers from Atlantic City for complimentary weekday nights, and unfortunately it's tough to take advantage of that because they're not a pet friendly hotel, and I'm in a situation where I am primarily responsible for the doggo here, so I either need to get creative on pet care or need to find places that he can also come with. So that's the situation I'm in. Speaking of pet care, that I got something locked up for April. So Biloxi is becoming more of a reality. I'll be in Biloxi April 22 through 25. That's the longest I'll be there. There's a chance I don't show up until the morning of the 23rd. But I think there's probably a good chance I stay until the 25th. But that's a Biloxi trip, and of course Vegas vacation in June. I'll be there as well. You can follow 360 Vegas for more updates on that event. Okay, this week's interview is John Reeder of the Risk of Ruin podcast. If you've never heard this podcast yet before, it is quite delightful. It's a great listen. It's a refreshing change of pace, change of style, if you will, in our little community here. It's more of a storytelling, heavy edits. It's a lot of voices, NPR style sort of storytelling. So if you haven't listened to it, give it a shot. If you haven't listened to it, here, check out this interview, and it might inspire you too. Here's John Reeder, Risk of Ruin. All right, John Reeder from the Risk of Ruin podcast. Sir, how are you?
I'm doing great, Tim. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. You know, one of the things that 2020 did do was it gave a lot of people the opportunity to begin creating content. And you are one of the more recent podcasters to the space. Welcome. And the podcast is fantastic. A lot of people recommend it to me. I mean, I've been listening to it for a while, but people's like, hey, Tim, have you heard this Risk of Ruin podcast? You need to check this out. So it's getting a lot of good reviews.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. I mean, obviously, if you know how much time this stuff takes. So if you do it, you'd rather have people like it than hate it. So that's good.
Well, let me tell you, I know that all too well. Little bit of advice: do not have a high pitched laugh. Some people hate that. My Apple reviews will tell me some people hate that. Anyways, John, we're gonna start this interview where we start all these interviews. We're gonna go all the way back to that first time that little John was near some sort of gambling. Do you remember how far back that was? Do you remember the first time you were exposed to gambling?
I mean, that would have been like a long time ago. Like we would play blackjack, like on the kitchen counter. I mean, we weren't like, our family wasn't like huge gamblers or anything, but like I grew up in the Midwest. There's not a lot to do in the winter. So it's like, you play cards and whatever, so just always, there's like always gambling. Like there was never, I don't remember a time when there wasn't gambling,
I like that. I don't remember the time there wasn't gambling, just always gambling. Who's got the over under on how long till the turkey's going to be done? So what, so you said you guys, blackjack would be going on. You say they're like gambling was just sort of always going on, but you always give us the example of blackjack. Like what other gambling's going on?
Well, I mean, our family wasn't like big gamblers or anything, but sure. We would just play cards and things like that. And then, when you're in high school, it's like some friend runs a NCAA tournament pool, and, we used to play we'd play euchre on the bus, and one euchre. I don't know if anybody even knows what euchre is, but we'd play euchre on the bus, and we'd, gamble and, play, we'd always have NCAA tournament pools and things like that. And then it's like, as soon as you're old enough, you know, we'd like, you know, make our first trip to Vegas. And then eventually, you know, I moved to the Southwest. I lived in Phoenix for a couple of years and I live in Southern California now. And so then Vegas is like really close. So it's like, now I've been to Vegas a lot. So yeah, just always, but you know, I would just call myself, I'm like a recreational gambler. You know, I tell people like I'm a recreational gambler, but at a certain point it was like, once we started to go to Vegas often enough that you're kind of, you're there, you know, more than once or twice a year, I always felt like, wow, like, you know, I don't really enjoy losing money in the casino. And so is there like a better way to, is there like a better way to do it? Or is there a way to not do it? And that kind of got me looking into card counting, you know, and then I have somewhat obsessive personality. So once I was down that rabbit hole, I really went and, you know, listened to like all the episodes of Gambling with an Edge, not all, but I've listened to like 80% of their episodes, something like that. And I was, you know, learned to card count, signed up for like Blackjack Apprenticeship. And then, yeah, as I tell people, once the pandemic hit, I was bored enough that I was interested in, you know, I listened to a lot of podcasts. I was always interested in that. And so, you know, I was bored enough that I started working on a podcast and I figured I'd just make one episode. And so I did sort of like a best of episode of Gambling with an Edge. And, you know, they were nice enough to let me use their clips. And that was my first episode.
Yeah, that's cool. So when you sort of start coming of age, you know, 18, 21, you start going out to Vegas, like where are you going? What are you doing? Tell us your sort of earlier Vegas stories. What was a typical trip like you?
Well, I mean, this is like, you know, like, I don't know if I think everybody has these stories where it's like, you know, between five people, you might have like $450, you know, and you're crammed into a, like you're crammed, everybody's in one room and, you know, you're like staying like not on the strip, you know, things like that. We would do that. You know, that was like my first trip. And then, you know, by the time I took like my second through whatever 10th or 15th trip, you know, we like, you know, I had a job and, you know, we could, I don't even remember, you know, we would stay at like not the nice places, but the nice, at least like not shitholes, you know?
Right.
And so we would you know, probably when I started going a lot, you know, this would be like early 2000s when like Mandalay Bay was still like, you know, I still like Mandalay Bay. I actually really like it, but this was like when Mandalay Bay was like, you know, not like, you know, you should try Mandalay Bay. It's not as bad as you think. You know, it was like, right. Oh, you should go to Mandalay Bay. It's a good place, you know? So we'd go to Mandalay Bay, you know, like before Delano, it was called like the hotel, you know, we'd stay there sometimes, you know, and that was fun. And this was like when that was like an expensive place to stay, you know, it didn't used to be, you can go there now and get a room for like, I don't know, like $100 or something, but it used to be like, it was like actually a premium place to stay at one point, which is kind of crazy.
So what are you playing in these trips? What tables you want? Just blackjack or what else?
Yeah, I would just dabble in everything. I mean, we would, you know, like I'd play, you know, if the mood struck me, I'd play poker. This was like during the poker boom. Everybody thought they knew how to play poker. So if the mood struck me, I'd play poker. I mean, we'd play blackjack. We'd, you know, I have to say though, the thing that we would really do is, I mean, we always did this around football or March Madness. So we spent most of our time in the sports book, you know, and it's like 13 guys, you know, pounding Bud Lights and farting and like, you know, like it's not, you know, it's like, you know, the posters of Vegas is like, the posters of Vegas look like a threesome could break out at any time. And then the reality is like, you know, eight guys in Hawaiian shirts that, you know, smell terrible.
Yeah. Oh, it's funny. So then you say, like, after a while, you don't want to lose money at the rate in which you are losing money at the tables. You want to become better at this. You want to, if not limit your losses, possibly, potentially get profit when you're at the table, flip the odds if you can. You start consuming gambling with an edge. You start learning how to count. I mean, like, over what, you know, from this inspiration that you have to sort of turn around your gambling philosophy to when you feel like you started to get it, like, what kind of time, like what time does that stretch?
Well, you know, this was all probably all started about 2 years ago. And really what happened is, I mean, I think this is kind of how it happened is, like, I have a small business. My wife has a small business. At a certain point, it became very hard to travel really anywhere else. And so we would hit the same. It'd be like, we'd be in Palm Springs one weekend. We'd be in Vegas one weekend. We'd be in Santa Barbara. We never left those areas because it was, you know, going anywhere else was just kind of like, it just did not fit our schedule. So then we started to end up in Vegas a lot. And so then it's like, all right, well now, I'll be honest with you and say, it was like, the money is not really that important to me because I never really developed like a big gambling habit in terms of money, but it's like, you know, you're in the casino a lot. And for me, at least, it becomes somewhat frustrating to sit there. It's like, you know, the house has one over on you.
Right.
And to me, I just have a very disagreeable personality. So to me, I don't like that. And so then I just thought, well, maybe, you know, I knew card counting was a thing. I just thought, well, I'll look into this. And, you know, there's a ton of resources on the internet now. You can get an app and you can learn how to count on an app. And there's just so many resources. And actually what I did was when I started out, I started using this like very complicated count. I don't know how much you know about card counting or how much, you know, any listener might know about it, but, you know, there's, you know, probably 20 or 30 different count methods.
Right.
What were you using? I was using, it's called the Revere Advanced Point Count.
Okay.
And there's various, I don't want to bore anybody, but there's various versions of this that have existed over time.
Sure.
But the one that I used did not require an ace side count. So it was, and it's a, it, you know,
you for it, betting. It did not require, so you're not side counting aces.
You're not side counting aces. Yeah. Yeah. But the problem is, I mean, this thing was hard to count. I mean, it's like, you know, every counting system, you basically look at pairs of cards,
right?
And then you just know, well, you know, a five and a two is equal to this number, right?
Yeah.
This thing was hard to count. And, you know, it was like, it would go so slow. And I'd sit at the table and I'd, you know, and I'd be like, okay, it would be really helpful if the dealer would slow down here. Eventually, you know, and it's kind of funny too, because like, if, you know, one of the first things they would tell anybody that wanted to learn to count cards is like, just pick a simple system. So if I just would have listened to that, I could have avoided, heartache. But eventually I was like, okay, I'm just going to go with the simple system. And then it was like, okay, this is actually quite easy.
Yeah.
You know, after learning a difficult count, you know, and I'd spent like months trying to learn the difficult count and trying to get faster and faster at it. And like,
so what was it about the, was it just because you didn't have to, was it the not having to side count aces that like what attracted you to this more difficult count out the gate?
So I'm actually going to have a hard time remembering the card tags, but it's like, so an ace is minus five or no, an ace is minus four and a five is plus four. And then sixes, fours, and threes are plus three, and tens are minus three. So it's like there's a lot of different values, and the values, yeah.
I was gonna say, so is it that they had a more appropriate value system to the cards? Is that what attracted you to the harder system?
Yeah, yeah. It's correlated with the, you know, the effect of removal, right, for the cards. Like when you pull the aces out of the deck, it's highly correlated with that. So from a betting correlation standpoint, it's a very good count. But it's just needlessly complex, you know, it just does not help you. And my thought at this time, I mean, like, not like anybody cares, but my thought was, well, if you have a more exact count, you know, you'll lose less, whatever, and you'll right. compound over time. Well, the truth is, the faster you can count, the more you would compound over time.
Yeah.
So that was like, you know, and then, so then I started counting high, low, and, you know, over the past, whatever year, it's like, you know, I haven't been in the casino a lot. So, you know, but yeah, that's kind of how I, ended up down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, I'm a high, low guy myself. Don't really apply it too much because, I mean, whatever. I don't have time to dedicate what you need to dedicate to like make counting cards worth it. But if I'm by myself at a table and I haven't had anything to drink, yeah, I'll count for entertainment more than anything, right? And it, you know, there are. I think anybody in the audience who knows how to do a high low count. Can empathize with this. Sometimes at a blackjack table, like you're having fun playing blackjack, but there's really not a whole lot else to like entertain you. And counting can do that. Counting can actually make the session more entertaining, even if you're not looking to like really extract the value out of it. It is kind of fun to just like challenge yourself, see if you can keep the count. It's also fun keeping a count to sort of pick up on who else is counting, right? You know, like I've been at blackjack tables where like I'm keeping count, and all of a sudden I see someone like raise their bet and I'm like, oh, that's not a coincidence. that bet's not a coincidence. So what, I mean, have you gotten a chance to really apply your trade now, do you think? Like have you got to see the proof of concept to counting?
Yeah, only in small samples, just because, like I say, I only do it when I'm on vacation. Like, I don't, you know, and maybe once it's safer to go out to casinos, I'll go play where I'm not on vacation, yeah. You know? But you know, in small samples, and, you know, and there's a whole learning process to all of it, because as soon as you learn how to count, it's like, okay, well, now you need to learn the deviations to basic strategy, right? And then you also have to be able to do deck estimation, and you have to, and then actually sitting at the table and getting your bets up and down in a timely manner becomes like a challenge. So all of that stuff, you know, the first time I sat down where I could keep the count, I wasn't good at getting the bets up and down, that kind of thing, you know. And then over time, I became more comfortable doing that. But yeah, I would say definitely. I really only do it when I'm on vacation, and who knows, maybe if things open up here, I'll go do it when I'm not on vacation. Who knows?
Yeah. The tagline for Risk of Ruin definitely spoke to me as someone who lives the better life, a podcast about gambling and life in their intersection. And I love that, right? I love that. I love when we talk about how, you know, where gambling and life truly meet, or how they're paralleled sometimes, or however you want to put it. You know, you mentioned, you know, you started digging around into content, and then you got inspired to do your own thing. But like, when you first were inspired to create a show, I mean, did you know that this type of sort of sound clip storytelling type show is what you wanted to do, or how'd you get here?
Yeah, I mean, that part was crystal clear from the start. Like, I just knew that I wanted to do something highly edited. And I knew that I wanted to do, basically like highly edited and very much featured on storytelling. Yeah. And kind of the original idea that is still the idea is like, it doesn't matter what the topic is. Like, it could be advantage play or gambling or whatever. It doesn't matter what the topic is. There's a limited amount anybody's going to care about it. But there are, you know, common things that we all go through in our lives that people can relate to. So the episodes, you know, I've been lucky enough to get some comments from people who are like, you know, my wife doesn't care at all about gambling. She listened to it and she really enjoyed it. So that okay. really is like the comment that's my preferred feedback that I go for. But yeah, it's, you know, I do think that, it's both that gambling is inherent to the way that we live our lives, and also that, you know, common lines that run through the lives of gamblers can be understood by everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if don't know if you can think of something on this prompt here, but can you, you know, one of the things I like talking about on the show is, and really the inspiration through for the Better Life is, can you think of like a part of your life or an experience you've had that you maybe experienced or viewed through a different lens than other people around you because you're a better?
Well, I mean, I'm like, just like, I probably didn't mention this, but, being pretty comfortable with risk is like, I sell land to developers.
Okay.
And so I'm in real estate, but this is like the kind of real estate where...
Is that a risky business? I don't know. I'm unfamiliar.
I mean, I can tell you that, I got into the business in 2006, and in 2008, we had $0 in commissions. Okay. So
yeah,
if you can go a full year with no commission, that's a fairly risky business to be in. So being willing to deal with risk, I think that is like, I might be a little bit more comfortable with it than other people just because I'm used to swings like that.
Right.
As far as like the gambling part of it, pure casino gambling, I view it as more of like the lessons that you would learn, like casino gaming or sports betting or whatever you want to say, the lessons that you would learn there. To me, unless you're like the 1%, those lessons are best applied elsewhere. And so, when I talk to these people for the podcast, they tell me so many things that it doesn't take me long. I get off, I'm done with the interview and I start thinking about it. I'm like, wow, like what they were saying really could be applied in a lot of situations,
Right.
And it's, I think because they're so gambling and having to deal with risk is so, it's so baked into what they do and what they've done for a number of years that they have, they know maybe a little bit better than the rest of us do.
Yeah. Which interview that you've done so far did you come out sort of the most excited to have held, right? Not going into what, because we all get excited when we get good, when Richard Munchkin agrees to an interview, it's kind of exciting, right? But, when you come out of an interview, regardless of who they were sort of in your mind going into it, who had you the most excited on, like, man, that was some good content there?
Well, that would be very difficult to pick because I've had so many that were so great and so unexpected. Daryl Purpose, he's a Blackjack Hall of Famer. And I remember I was trying on Richard Munchkin's recommendation, I was trying to get him into the episode, but he wasn't responding to my email, and not because he was like dodging me. He just, wasn't online 100% of the time, I think. And finally he said, oh yeah, I can do this anytime. And I was like, okay, good. This is good. But then when we did the interview, I was like, wow, this guy really, like, I didn't expect that his interview was going to be so great. And the reason was he got into a lot of stuff about, his life sort of in between Blackjack. So that was very cool. But then I will also say, I interviewed this guy, Mark Cahotas. He's a short seller, so he, during the leading up to the financial crisis, he was managing, I think, a $2 billion hedge fund, and they're all short on the short side. Right. For the episode that he's in, I thought, well, I need like 3 or 4 short sellers to go into this episode, and it's going to be about short selling. And I got done with his interview and I was like, no, I think just one will do it. He had so many great stories that I was just like, yeah, I don't need anybody else. That'll do it.
You're about 9 episodes in. What part of this process are you enjoying the most as the host, the creator, the producer, however you want to look at it?
Yeah, I think the part I like is really, I like to do the interviews. That's very fun. I hate to schedule the interviews. As you know, that's terrible. It's like the worst part. I like to do the interviews. I like to edit as well. Because it is, it's like, we all talk so much, and I'm sure I've rambled just, my fair share on this episode. Well, when you start to edit, things become so much clearer. So I actually really like the editing process.
You are speaking my language, sir. I am with you. I thoroughly enjoy the editing process. It's time consuming. It's daunting when I'm like 2 hours into an interview and I'm like, every minute I interview now is another minute I have to listen to and edit. But the process is a lot of fun. You're absolutely right. Listening to the incomplete or incoherent sometimes messaging and editing out the parts that don't matter and then turning it into a coherent message is an art, and it's fun.
Yeah, I like it.
How have you become a better gambler through this? I mean, you're 9 episodes in, you've talked to a lot of great people, not a whole lot of gambling going on, like you said, because we're in the situation we're in, but have you felt like you've already become a better gambler through these conversations, through these experiences? Because as a content creator, especially as a podcaster, this is the side effect, the side benefit that you don't really think about going into it is, holy smokes, I'm getting all of this information in real time from these people. How have you become a better gambler?
Oh yeah, there's so many ways. Number one, I'll just say on the casino side. So I do think one thing that is extremely valuable about gambling with Edge is my dog's barking in the background.
No worries. What's the dog's name?
Ginger.
Ginger. Very good. Ginger. First appearance on the podcast. I like it.
One thing that I think that Gambling with an Edge has, like, they're right in the middle of the dartboard on this, is just thinking about gambling in terms of trying to make sure that you have an edge, and sometimes you can't really be sure that you have an edge, but I think that they're absolutely right that, in a lot of ways, most people have they're too comfortable with losing. So that's one thing is just, and then, you know, once you see things that way, at least to me, the casino becomes a lot more interesting place, because then it's like, oh, well, maybe there's a slot machine that, might have an advantage. I can walk around and look at the table games and look at the side bets and see if, are there any things like that that could be exploited? So to me, it makes the casino actually a lot more interesting. I'm sure most people would think, like, you've just turned gambling into work and this sucks. but for me, at least, it's a lot more interesting. But then the other thing I'll tell you that, so when I interviewed this short seller, Mark Cahotas, he said, I apologize for, I don't know if you can still hear my dog, but
I can hear him. My dog driver has made an appearance on the podcast a number of times. It happens. People have dogs. I love dogs. It's not loud enough for it to matter.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So this short seller, Mark Cahotas, I interviewed him, and this is how dumb I am. Like, I've shorted Tesla before. And I did it like back when, before, you'd get your face ripped off doing it. Like,
right.
I shorted it from like 240 to like 180. This was like before the stock split. And then it went back up to 200. And I said, okay, well, I'm good for a while. But, when I was talking to him, he was like, I would never short that stock. And here are the reasons. And I was like, oh yeah, that makes perfect sense. And so I thought about that and I was like, yeah, this guy's been doing this for 40 years. He probably knows a thing or two about it, and I should listen to him when he talks.
Right. Right. It's interesting. So one thing I'm curious about, where you sit on this and where you think, either where your audience is or the audience you're speaking to, I bring up a lot. I mean, a topic that I've discussed or talked about a lot here recently is the balance between content, like AP content, and Rec Plus content, right? Like, a lot of us, myself included, I listen to Advantage players. I take what they say to heart. I try to apply what I know from what they're teaching to where I can, but only have so much time and effort that I can really put into this, right? I know that I'm not going to sit down at a blackjack table and truly, turn a profit. But at the same time, like, I'm, you know, while I'm okay with, you know, going to a dice table and taking the negative EV game, I tighten my game up as much as possible. You know, you're talking to a lot of, like, you know, you see like a lot of pros, APs. You know, where do you balance what you're learning from them? And you know, you just gave an example on shorting, but maybe with a gambling example, if you have one, where it's like, okay, I know I can't apply what they just talked about specifically or directly to how I do, because I just don't have the means or the time, but I am going to glean a little bit of that information to make my game better.
Yeah, I think probably the easiest thing, okay, so let me just say that, you know, 99.5% of people in the world do not give a shit about advantage play, right? and you could tell them, hey, you're losing a lot of money at the casino, and they would not give a shit about right. advantage play.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of slots for a reason, right?
Yeah. And that's fine. It's like, you know, people want to blow off steam however they want to blow off steam, and that's great for them. However, you know, I think that the lowest hanging fruit is always to go after the marketing department, because the marketing department is where, like, what you say, your rec plus gambler.
Yeah.
That's where they can get their easiest return. You know, even, like I don't remember if this was last year or the year before. It was like, you know, we sit like, you know, MGM sends you your win-loss statement, right?
Yeah.
And so we played, my wife and I played a video poker machine at Mandalay Bay for, I don't know, an hour or 2 hours, maybe it was 3 hours, I don't know. And so our, you know, our win-loss statement tells us exactly how much we lost, right? And our EV, I'm sure, would have been not that large of a loss. But it's like we've already made that back in room offers, you know. So I would say that's the easiest thing, is like, you know, there's things like these casinos send you free play, they send you room offers. Already Vegas is a very, very, I think Vegas is like a super cheap place to vacation. I mean, I suppose it depends on how much you lose at the tables, but like most of the you know, the hotels there, like if you stayed at that same hotel in San Diego, it would be twice as much, right? So it's already a pretty cheap place to, you know, as long as you can keep your losses in check, it's already a pretty cheap place to vacation.
Do you have action on the Super Bowl?
No.
Yeah.
So I enjoy it. I'm actually working on a sports betting episode right now. I think it's like a really interesting thing, but I'm not like heavy into sports betting.
Can you tease that episode for us? I know a lot of my listeners listen to your podcast. Who's on that? Who can they expect to hear on that episode?
Well, so far it's Spanky and Captain Jack, if you know him.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. You had Captain Jack on the show.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I listened to that episode. That was a good episode.
It was. Captain Jack, very gracious at this time.
Yeah. That was good. Also, I should say, I know that... you and Eric Rosenthal used to do the show together 100% of the time. I think it's really quite good when you're interviewing a guest. So I think you're doing a great job with it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's, you know, the show originated as an interview show. Then Eric came on and it became a co-hosted dialogue, which was great for the, you know, what, year and a half that we did that. Coming back to the interview-based show, has worked out for sure. And I have a couple of variants, right? I have the, you know, Mark Duvall and I do the TV and movies type episode once a month. But yeah, it's the interview. What really gets tough with the interview based stuff is balancing all of it, right? So making sure that if I had a sports bettor 1 week, that I'm considering a casino gamer the next week, right? If I had an AP or a pro, making sure that I have a recreational player coming up soon, right? So that's been the biggest challenge in balancing interviews, is making sure that each segment of my audience is being spoken to in the content.
Yeah, that's great. No, and I like Eric. I think he's like a really entertaining guy. But I think you've done great with the interviews.
Thank you. I appreciate you complimenting him, but then making sure that he knows I don't need him. You hear that, Eric? I'm doing okay without you. And you know what's been fun is Eric's come back a couple times since, so it's kind of fun to have him hop in every once in a while to chat. So you're front to back all you, right? From conceptualizing an episode all the way to hitting publish, you are the person the whole way through, right?
Yeah, I'm a one man band, so to speak.
What do you miss the most about gambling right now, right? I mean, like, we're, you mentioned, you know, when you get back to things as things get safer, open back up, like, what are you most excited to get back to doing?
I mean, I would go anywhere at this point. Like, I'll be excited to go back to Vegas. I mean, I think, like, you know, it's always fun. Like, you know, I actually I'm old enough now that, like, I like to relax there, you know. Like, I'm not going to, you know, I don't go to the clubs or anything. I don't go to, like, the pool clubs. So I'm old enough that, you know, I only go there to relax, but I do like to relax there. So I'll be happy to go back, you know, when things are safe again.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. What content are you listening to? I mean, you mentioned Gambling with an Edge, but I imagine that once you... I mean, a lot of us, when we get into the gambling content rabbit hole, we find some other things we like. What else has caught your eye or your ear?
On gambling, I don't know if you listen to Spanky's Be Better Betters. That is a fan, like, almost unbelievably good podcast.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, he has, and he gets so many people that you don't hear on other podcasts. It's really incredible. Bookies, people that, you know, like, he interviewed the guy that ran the Stardust back in the day.
Wow.
So it is really great. And I'm not like just blowing smoke 'cause he's on my next episode, but it's a really great show. But I listen to lots of stuff, you know. I'm subscribed to a lot of podcasts, and then, you know, when one comes up that I think will be a good episode, I listen to it. You know, I listen to the one with I forget the name of it, but the one with Rufus Peabody and Jeff Ma. Is that right?
Yeah.
I listen to that one. And you know, now I end up doing, like, listening to podcasts is like a way that I do research, because it's like, oh, okay, you're thinking about doing this episode. Well, you know, you need to have some background into, like, what these people, you know, like, what, not only what questions to ask them, but what is the rest of the, you know, how to talk about the rest of the domain, right? Like, so
right.
I interviewed this guy, Blair Hull. He was an options trader. It's like, I'm not an options trader, you know? So to know what questions to ask him, I have to go back and listen to all his other stuff, right? So I do a lot of actual research through podcasts as well.
What topics are, I mean, I don't know if you want to share this or not, but, like, on your short list of topics to cover, stories to tell, what are you excited about pursuing?
So let's see here. I probably will sometime soon do a poker show.
Okay.
I probably will sometime soon do, like, venture capital. So I've reached out to a few VCs, and so far I've gotten no's, but I still have a pretty good list of ones that I think I might have a shot with. So, you know, those are a few of the short lists, but I mean, I could, you know, like, I could come up with, I could come up with endless list of episodes, you know, like, I could do one about, you know, casino backoffs. Like, you know, there's just so many potential episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, John, this has been a pleasure. I love talking to content creators. I love talking to gamblers, and I love, as your podcast would say, I love when those things intersect. I think there's a lot of opportunity in the gambling space for content of all sorts. I think you found, I think storytelling in the way that you're doing it is refreshing, to be quite honest. I fall into the interview based show that I have been doing for 10 years now in different, different forms on different subjects. I can't seem to get myself out of that format. So, it's always good to hear, podcasters like yourself take a different approach or a almost more traditional approach to storytelling, with the way that you're doing it. And so I look forward to your future episodes and keep up the good work, sir.
I really appreciate it. Thanks so much, Tim.
Big thanks to John for joining me. Again, if you haven't listened to his podcast, you can be found anywhere podcasts can be found. Risk of Ruin, great listen. I enjoy it. On Tuesday, probably around 6 p.m. Eastern, I will hop on Twitch. I will either have my next guest with me, and I'm not going to say who it is yet because we haven't been able to nail down a time for an interview, but it's either going to be a live interview with that guest, and I'll tweet it out if it is, or I'm just going to hang out for about an hour and play a couple casino games and get a little opportunity to chat with y'all if you want to come hang out with me on Twitch. Twitch.tv/TheBetterLife, 6 p.m. Tuesday, 6 p.m. Eastern, that is. So come hang out with me. Might be an interview. Might be just me playing some casino games. Either way, fun to engage with all of you. Lastly, the You Can Bet on That poker tourney. They are, listen to You Can Bet on That to get like the real information on that, because I'm not going to sit here and try to spit out all the details because I definitely didn't prepare all those notes. But March 14th, Selection Sunday, just before March Madness, that's the day that it's happening. It's happening on PokerStars. I am doing it. this is a way of I'll be playing. I am doing it. I will be playing an attorney. There will be a bounty on my head, and I can't remember what Mark said the bounty on his head is, but I'll match whatever his bounty is, and then I'm throwing in a couple Better Life t-shirts from any of the designs that I have available in your size. So that will be the bounty on my head. Get to my table quick. Better hope you're on my table early, because I'm not very, very good at poker, so you're going to have to be there early if you want to take advantage of hitting that bounty on me. Good chance... and I'll update this. Oh, I don't know if I'll have this organized in time to update the next week, but definitely before that tournament, I will have a Discord channel open for anybody who wants to hang out and chat while that tournament is going on. I'm not going to stream it, obviously, because I don't want people looking at my screen, but I was thinking, hey, what's a way that I can engage with people that aren't necessarily at my table or possibly not even at the tournament, who just sort of want to hear the atmosphere. That's what we'll do. Open a Discord channel. Everybody can hop on and we can chit-chat. All right. That will do it. That will do it for this week. Can't believe February is already over. My goodness. I feel like March in 2020 took about as long as the last 4 months did. Well, maybe not November. November drag on for a number of reasons. But it seems like since like the middle of December till now, time has gone by in a snap. Hope everybody's well. Hope everybody is winning their bets as you're placing them. If you're going out to casinos, please be safe. Please follow all the safety protocols. The safer we are when we go out, the more quickly we can get back to normal. I appreciate everybody listening. On behalf of John Reeder, I am Tim Lawson. Good night and good luck.